This is Johnny Bluestar. Welcome to Threshold, a global media event. Is the universe just a random dance of atoms? Or is it a manifestation of a supremely intelligent architect? Can its purpose, or our purpose here on Earth, be adequately assessed? Can we commune with it, know its intentions, cooperate with its direction? Here, we define Threshold as a gateway state of awareness, allowing mankind to cross into a place of real cognition. Threshold allows us to approach questions of higher reality through the door of experience rather than mere belief. Welcome to Threshold, where we tear away the veil from commercial media, bringing our audience and participants into another realm of reality and enhanced communication. Welcome to today's broadcast, Patricia.
Thank you, Johnny. It's a pleasure to be here with your Threshold program.
Before we begin to preview some of the songs in your album and penetrate a bit into their extraordinary history, let's review a bit about your own personal history that equipped you to pull off such a massive, artistically challenging project as Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia. A 46-song, 3-CD collection spanning the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. Let us go back to the very beginning and tell us about the start of your interest in singing and a bit about the circumstances in which you grew up as a child.
Okay. Actually, I grew up very humble beginnings in West Virginia, and I've always loved music from being a little child. And I remember my mom and dad had a lot of old Broadway records, Gordon McRae, Shirley Jones, so forth. And I used to listen to these constantly. And I just had such a desire to be a part of that world. And in high school, our high school was a consolidated school. Even though I grew up in a small town, they took three towns and combined them and made this wonderful high school. And we had a great fine arts program. And so I just loved singing, and I got involved in the musicals, and I even walked home after school. Was 3.5 miles during the time that we were in rehearsals for musicals, which was always in the spring. And from then on, it stayed with me. And I think when you have that desire, that burning desire, and that interest, of deep interest in something, it stays with you for your life.
Well, after high school, what happened with your work in college? And tell us something about your operatic training.
Well, I actually was a scholarship winner at West Virginia University. So they gave out one voice scholarship a year, and I was it. So I was very fortunate to have that. And I studied with a former Metropolitan Opera spinto, Frances Yind, who actually taught at West Virginia University. She was an elderly woman, but she was a wonderful lady, and she was, Metropolitan Opera spinto, which is kind of a voice that's kind of a spin of a soprano, very like a full lyric spin. Anyway, she taught me in college, and I continued, just as I did in high school, to be involved in the fine arts department, the musicals, the operas, anything that I could be a part of, I was a part of it.
So there was some dramatic training there too, right? It wasn't just music.
Yes, exactly. It was acting, and it was music, and it was opera, and it was, everything all tied in. You know how the arts are just so much interconnected.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. At what point did you decide that you wanted to actually be a professional singer?
I think I decided that really in college. That's the direction that I was going. But when I took that real leap was when I went to New York City for the first time, which was in my mid-20s. And that's when I really said, I'm going to take this leap and do it. You know, some people move to other parts of the world just out of the, that was kind of it for me. You know, I came from West Virginia, and here I was going to New York City all by myself. So that was a big step.
Well, I know, because I went to New York City too later on after college. Mm-hmm. And I went to Columbia for a while. And it was like a really important point, because at that point I wanted to be a writer, but I was also writing some songs and things like that. I was more caught up in trying to get films and books made than songs at that point. But still, it's like a mecca.
Yes. And, it's so, the culture there is just so wonderful. I mean, you know, that's what New York is all about. You know, you've got the libraries and you have Broadway and you have, you know, the literature. You've got everything there as far as our culture goes.
Yes, it's a wonderful place to be. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's one of your songs whose title kind of defines the tremendous personal aspirations that the human heart can contain, but is also a very fascinating little love song. It's called Fly Me to the Moon, and it had a revival in the opening title of Wall Street with Michael Douglas, Martin, and Charlie Sheen. But the song had a stunning success story way before that, when it was first released as In Other Words, if you remember the lyrics, of course you do, but In Other Words, Hold My Hand. But anyway, it was first called In Other Words. It was released by Kay Ballard in 1954, but went on from there.
Yes, what? And actually, Kay Ballard was the original singer for the song. Back in 1960, Peggy Lee recorded this song, and that made it more popular when she performed it on the Ed Sullivan Show, which, you know, the Ed Sullivan Show back then was kind of like our American Idol today. You know, a lot of people, big stars became big stars from the Ed Sullivan Show. So that song was so popular, and it became better known as Fly Me to the Moon. So in 1963, Peggy Lee convinced Bart Howard to actually make the name change official from, In Other Words, to Fly Me to the Moon. And then in 1960s, you know, in the early 1960s, the version of the song was released under the new name. And so many singers, including Nat King Cole, Sarah Vaughan, Brenda Lee, Connie Francis even did a non-English version of it. Frank Sinatra recorded it. So, you know, it became a really big, big hit. And Bart Howard, who was the writer, estimated that by the time Frank Sinatra covered the song in 1964, more than 100 versions had been recorded, and by 1995, it had been recorded more than 300 times. That's a pretty good success story for a song.
I would say so, but let's hear it.
Spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In
Tell me, Patricia, why do you think, I mean, now we have handled some of its history, which is quite frankly immense, 100 cover songs, something like that is amazing. But why was it so successful? What is it about the song that's so appealing?
Well, personally, for me, I think it's a very happy song. It has a really nice melody. It has that nice little bit of swing quality to it. And people just like it. It's kind of one of those happy songs that make you smile.
I'd say so. I think it's a I think it's a great song and a great introduction to that movie Wall Street, which is one of my favorite movies. Anyway, let's take a break, beginning with an introduction to the film and television scoring of one of our friends and associates, Edgar Ahrens, an amazing Russian composer.
Yes.
I've worked with Russian composer Edgar Ahrens for quite a few years, building an inventory of songs, many of which feature singer-performer Patricia Welch. We will soon be releasing these songs, components of an album and a musical in progress called Hadley's Castle. When Edgar and I first got together, I was amazed by the brilliance of his musical scores created for movies, TVs, and animations. Here is a sample of the work he did on the Russian TV series, available now on Amazon, called The Secret Agent's Memoir, which had 2 seasons. This score is called Escape and was created for the first season. I am very pleased to say that Bridge of Light Productions, a division of New Galaxy Enterprises, is proud to be the contact point for television and film companies seeking information about this amazing composer's work. If you're in the entertainment business and wish to know more, contact me at johnnybluestar@gmail.com. That's johnnybluestar@gmail.com.
Boots in Manhattan is a coming-of-age novel by Ray Boylan and Johnny Bluestar. It is about a young Tom Boots Raymond who grows up in New York in the 1940s, who is a member of a street gang.
My friends and I were about to start our own game of stickball when Rabbit Lacey, the head of the Rattlers, came up to us and tried to move in on our game. We were called dwarves, the youngest members of this stupid gang.
Hey, Kevin, I need you to get some gloves and some stuff I left at my place.
No, this is our game.
Hey, are you my good little dwarf or what?
You've been calling me a dwarf since I was 6. We're not your personal slaves, pal.
Hey, what is this? A dwarf rebellion? All right, big guy. We ditched the dwarf thing. We make you guys regular rattlers.
No, it's too late.
He looked at Jay and me. We looked away. Rabbit was now angry, and he pushed Kevin hard with the palms of his hand. Kevin tried to ram him in the stomach, but he stepped aside, throwing Kevin into the curb where he fell to the ground, bleeding profusely at the knee. Still, he managed to get up.
My street.
Kevin shouted at Rabbit, pointing at him with an angry index finger.
Find out more by Googling Boots in Manhattan, a 1940s coming-of-age novel, part one of the novel series The Foot Soldier by Ray Boylan and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Boots in Manhattan, Ray Johnny Kindle. That's Boots in Manhattan, Ray Johnny Kindle.
Nowadays, if you are a serious business person, just getting assistance from someone with a license and a bit of experience may not be sufficient. In fact, your realtor actually needs to be knowledgeable enough to be one of your top advisors. Whether you are facilitating a giant merger or selling your company, there's a lot at stake besides your finances. There is the future value of your current investment, financial freedom, integrity, and overall reputation. If you need this kind of assistance, Sandra LaFlamme is a real estate expert with the experience, reputation, and knowledge qualified to assist you in all your key transactions. Sandra LaFlamme, real estate services with integrity and conscience. Contact her today at 888-366-8070. That's Sandra LaFlamme at 888-366-8070. We're back with Patricia Welch, who's not only an artist, but an entrepreneur and producer, who has personally created a wonderful 3-CD project called Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia that features 46 songs from decades from the 1950s to the 1990s. Tell us, Patricia, why you were motivated to produce such an ambitious album. I say ambitious because you've chosen songs compelling you to record material competing with a history of fantastic number of cover songs by some of the world's greatest artists, but also intrinsically demanding the ultimate in musical and dramatic artistry. How could you do this?
Well, you know, the thought came, I actually thought about all these songs that I love. First of all, I've always loved a song spanning from the 40s into the early 90s, especially the 60s and 70s. Oh my gosh, I just love that music. So I wanted something that was easy listening, that people loved. A lot of these songs are very soothing, very easy listening. I also wanted to put a compilation of a 46 song CD set together because I thought it would make a perfect hostess gift. You know, when somebody's having, and I live here in Palm Desert in the Coachella Valley, and we have so many country clubs and dinner parties and galas and so forth, and a lot of people entertain here, and I just thought it would be a perfect opportunity for somebody that's having a cocktail party or a dinner party to play the music, you know, from the cocktail CD, then to the dinner CD, and then to the dessert CD, and play this throughout the course of the evening. In fact, I actually attended a party where a hostess did this, and it timed out perfectly. It timed out perfectly. We were actually finishing up dessert by the time we got into the very last CD, which was the dinner, dessert. So it's Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia in the Music for Great Entertaining 3-CD set.
That is great. And I believe that you can choose between dinner, dessert, and cocktails in your choice of the CDs if you wanted them individually.
Well, actually, I'll make a correction there. The CD set is sold as a whole, the 3-CD set. And then the one that they can actually choose as a single is the dinner CD. That's the middle CD of the set.
I see. So, mm-hmm. Well, here you have a tremendous number of songs during this period. I mean, you've had to choose like 46 out of hundreds. What was the criteria you used to choose these songs?
Well, just they're favorites of mine, songs that I love to sing, anything that I felt. I first of all, Johnny, I can never sing anything that I don't feel. If I don't feel it, I can't sing it. But luckily, there's a lot of good material out there, especially from the past, that I can really feel. And so basically, these were just all songs that I've loved to sing throughout the years.
In our last selection, we played Fly Me to the Moon, a hit song by Bart Howard, which came something like 20 years after he began his musical career. Now, the following song had a brief fling for a week in the charts, reaching number 30 through the recording of Jerry Lester with the musical direction of Milton DeLugge at the time. Jerry Lester was the host of a program called Broadway Open House, and it was said that this song, first broadcast on his program, was the very first television program to effectively promote a song to the charts. Still, that wasn't really when it reached its apex. Tell us about when it really became famous and its subsequent history. The name of the song is Orange Colored Sky. Tell us about when it really became famous and its subsequent history.
Well, the best-known version of that song was recorded by Nat King Cole. And so that was back in 1950. And then it reached the Billboard bestseller in 1950. And that actually lasted 13 weeks on the chart. And, you know, I really like to see the popularity of older songs coming back because, ironically, that song was so big in the 1950s. But even Lady Gaga covered the song back in New York at the Oak Room in 2010. And then they actually, in 2013, a modified version was used for a jingle for a Weight Watchers commercial.
Well, that's some history, especially Lady Gaga. I think it was then, maybe correct me, that she wore a dress made out of hair.
Absolutely. Yes, you got it. You got your trivia right. That's exactly what she wore at the Oak Room in New York City in 2010 when she sang that song.
There's a lot of exuberance in this song, yet with its lyrics and kind of its bouncy melody, Your performance really captures something of the era. Did you feel you had to do a bit of time travel to capture the sense of this song?
Yes and no, you know, because it does have that era. But I think a lot of the old songs, I just honestly think that they fit today's standards as well. Maybe there's going to be people that disagree with me, but I think they do. Maybe I'm a little old-fashioned. I don't know.
I think the language is a little bit old-fashioned there.
Yeah.
But you know, that doesn't keep something from being a perennially. We're still reading Charles Dickens, right? You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Absolutely.
It is something about it that sticks, and you can't quite destroy as time moves on.
Mm-hmm. And I love the line in the song, "One look at you and, you know, and I yell timber," you know, like a tree was going to land on me. I love that. You know, I don't know. I think in that sense, it could fit any era, you know, because that's what happens when we fall in love, you know. Boom, wham, you know, when you know it's that's the right one, you know it.
I seem to recall that about 3 decades ago.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I was walking along, minding my business, when out of an orange colored sky, flash, bam, alakazam. Wonderful, you came by. I was humming a tune, drinking in sunshine, when out of that orange-colored view, flash, bam, alakazam, I've got a look at you. Yeah, one look and I yell timber. Watch out for flying glass, 'cause the ceiling fell in and the bottom fell out. I went into a spin and I started to shout. I've been hit. This is it. This is it. I was walking along, minding my business, when love came and hit me in the eye. Flash, bam, alakazam, out of an orange-colored sky.
This next song was written by one of the most famous singers of all time, Edith Piaf. Tell us a little bit about this singer.
Oh my gosh, Edith Piaf. She has such an amazing history. Edith actually was widely regarded as France's national chanteuse. But the interesting thing about her life is that she was abandoned by her mother at birth, and she lived a very short time with her father, who was a street acrobat. And then he joined the French army in 1916. And so there was no other person to watch her or to care for her other than his grandmother, Emma, who actually ran a brothel.
And so, oh, really?
Yes, yes. And so Edith Piaf was raised by her grandmother, and the prostitutes helped take care of her. So she really had an interesting life. And in 1935, she was discovered by singing in a nightclub. So Edith actually performed in many nightclubs and brothels throughout her career. And the love of her life was actually the married boxer Marcel Cerdan, but he died in a plane crash in October 1949. And so she's had a lot of hardships through her life. And then in 1951, she was seriously injured in a car crash. And thereafter, she suffered such serious difficulties arising from morphine and alcohol addictions as a result of the pain that she endured from the car crash. And so she really had a hard life. And unfortunately, she died at a very young age, at age 47. But, yeah. You know, her music can be found on over 80 recordings. I think that is remarkable for her short life. I can give you an example. I'm on about 4 recordings. Of course, I'm no Edith Piaf, but I have about 4 recordings under my belt. And here she is, only 47 years old, and her music can be found on over 80 recordings. And she co-wrote La Vie en Rose. A lot of people don't know that she also co-wrote that song. So,
how would you characterize her style of singing?
Well, actually, she just was such an emotional singer. I think her style was her emotion, and I think that's what made her so popular. I mean, she didn't have like the greatest voice, but she had such deep emotion and feeling, and she made the audience feel the song.
And did she have any impact on you as a performer yourself? I mean, in general, although her fame had reached very high levels before you became a professional.
Yeah, I think it did. You know, especially after I read her life story, first of all, it made me so grateful that I didn't have those hardships. And then secondly, that listening to her style and her emotion, always helps a singer. When you can see that other singers, what they're doing with the song and how they can get into the song, it makes me more eager to give my own personal feeling towards that particular story, that song, the lyric, you know, because I think that's the most important thing of a song. I mean, the music is truly beautiful and it adds to it. But, you know, if you can't sing the lyric, you're not going to sell the song.
Well, let's see how you did with La Vie en Rose.
Thank you.
Des yeux qui font baisser la mière, un rire qui sous-perçait sa bouche, voilà la portrait sans retouche de l'âme qu'elle a j'appartient. Comme de me prendre dans ses bras, il m'est parlé tout bas, j'avoue la vie en rose. Il me dit des mots d'amour, des mots de tous les gens, et ça me fait quelque chose. Il est entré dans mon de bonheur dont j'ai connu la cause. Il a pour moi ma pluie dans la vie, il me le dit la journée par la vie. Et dès que je l'appelle alors je sens en moi mon cœur qui bat.
d'amour plume finie. Oh, grand bonheur qui pense aux places, des aimés des chauveurs s'efface. Oh, rêve, on a mori.
We are always interested in how an artist gets their first break. I think that Fain intervened to get your break in a very interesting way. Tell us how you managed to get your first chance on Broadway.
Well, I actually took that chance in my early 20s and decided that I was going to go to New York City. And so I saved up my money, and I was a little young girl from West Virginia, so I didn't have much knowledge about what it entailed. So I went to New York with $1,400 cash. That's basically all I had, thinking that that was going to last me for a long time. And after 3 weeks, it was gone. I didn't really know how to get around. And, you know, with between taxis and eating out and all of that, I didn't plan that wisely. But somehow, you know, fate was on my side, because I was actually ready to leave New York City. And I bumped into, ironically, I had asked my mom to just wire me a little bit more to get me through. And I was walking out of Western Union and bumped into an old college friend walking out of Western Union. Bumped into her, and she recognized me, and we started talking, and she lived on the Upper West Side of New York City, West 99th Street, and we started talking, and I told her I was ready to leave the city, and I didn't think I could stay, and blah, 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 and so she said, you know, we have a two-bedroom apartment, but we have a living room and a closet in our living room, and I could talk to my sister and see if she'll let you stay on the couch in the living room. Would you want to stay? And I said, absolutely. I said, I'll clean, I'll cook, I'll do whatever you want. You know, so that's what happened. So she made the arrangement. I was staying at the YWCA. She called me at the YWCA, because we didn't have cell phones back then. This is back in 1980, you know. So she called me and left a message there, and I ended up staying at her house. And then about 2 weeks later, that's when they had an open call for The King and I, with Wow. Yul Brynner, starring Yul Brynner, and Mitch Lee was the producer. And so I went to that open call, and then that was my success story. There were 6,000 people that auditioned for that musical, and they kept narrowing it down and narrowing it down, and they narrowed it down to 10 women for the part of Tup Tim, and I was one of the 10. And I'll never forget that day when Mitch Lee called me up after the final audition, because, well, I had one audition, then we had a call back, and they said Yul Brynner would be back in town a few days later, and that he wanted to hear everybody. And so I actually performed for Yul Brynner for the audition, and then Mitch Lee called me up that night and said, we want to offer you the role of Tup Tim in The King and I. It was a Cinderella story, a true Cinderella story.
Amazing. And there was a sense of being guided. I mean, that mm-hmm. strange things happen, which you might call synchronicity, to make it work.
Yes. Fate. Like just kind of what your show is about, Threshold, you know, just that fate thing. I mean, really, really wonderful how things happen in our lives, how people enter our lives and exit our lives at different times, and how all that is sort of a storyboard of our lives. And you know, being a writer, how all of that is so true.
Yeah, it's just, but when it actually happens to you, mm-hmm. like it did when a Russian composer who I had contacted, lived in Moscow, introduced me to this singer he wanted to work with, and she happened to live 30 miles away from me, and that was you. And yeah. Edgar was, who we've worked together with for years, was in Moscow. So it all really is a very interesting tapestry.
It is.
Well, now we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
For Christmas, why not give your family and friends something unforgettable? A cavalcade of songs, 46 of the greatest classic standards from the 1950s to the 1990s. By one of the most dramatic, versatile singers alive today. Take a breath, close your eyes, but only for a moment. Here is the amazing Patricia Welch with the perfect Christmas gift for family and friends.
Fly me to the moon, let me see.
Music for Great Entertaining introduces Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia Welch.
Whatever Lola wants.
3 hours of continuous music, the perfect accompaniment to an elegant dinner party. 46 of the all-time classic standards, spanning decades of hit songs. Sung by Patricia Welch, a soprano with an amazing 4-octave range. Take the guesswork out of what music to play at your next dinner party.
Went out of an orange-colored sky. Flash.
Going to a friend's home for dinner? Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia also makes the perfect hostess gift. 3 hours of great music, all digitally recorded. Singer Andy Williams says Patricia has a gorgeous voice and always thrills the audience. Las Vegas entertainer Wayne Newton is also a fan.
Sometimes the sun goes around the
moon. New Galaxy Enterprises is a media company specializing in wide-ranging content like novels, nonfiction books, screenplays, commercial advertising, web content, etc. One of our most esteemed providers is illustrator Robert W. Zalo. I work on all my most important projects, like book covers, logos, web design elements, with Robert. As an illustrator, he worked on the Ignatz-nominated comic book, The Expert's Guide to Killing Things That Go Bump in the Night. His skills encompass advertising, magazine illustrations, gaming, comic books, TV production, and scenic painting. His clients include Comcast, Adelphia, Haven Talent, Forceworks, High Octane Theater, Star Creative Advertising. If you wish to contact Robert, go to johnnybluestar.com and let me know. That's johnnybluestar.com for artist illustrator Robert Zalo, an essential component of all the work we do. Maybe he can help you too. This is Johnny Bluestar. I've worked as a lyricist with Patricia Welch for over 5 years, along with Russian composer Edgar Ahrens, a friend and colleague. Her ability as a singer is simply amazing. She brings a unique and dramatic flair to every song she sings. Over the next few months, we shall be releasing a number of these songs, part of an album called Hadley's Castle. Meanwhile, Patricia has been busy creating a super enjoyable collection of classic standards in an exciting 46-song, 3-CD collection.
Music for Great Entertaining introduces Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia Welch. 3 hours of continuous music. 46 of the all-time classic standards, spanning decades of hit songs. Going to a friend's home for dinner? Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia also makes the perfect hostess gift. This 3-CD compilation is the perfect background music that sets just the right mood for any dinner party.
I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. There was a boy, a very strange, enchanted boy.
To purchase this album, just go to patriciawelch.com/CD. That is patriciawelch.com/CD. You won't be disappointed. That was an astounding performance. Although I know almost no French, the emotional power of that song, including the words, seemed to transcend a little thing like language. Did you study Piaf's own performance a great deal before you developed your own version? What did you try to convey in your way of reproducing the song?
I did study her version as well as many other French singers. Sophie Millman was one that I kind of, that's basically her musical track version. It's kind of like I patterned my track version after that. But for me, I don't speak any French. And it's funny because I was performing that at a concert and a Frenchman came up to me and just started talking to me in fluent French afterwards.
Really?
And so he said, your French is so magnificent. And I said, well, you know, that's the wonderful thing about the internet nowadays. And, you know, being able to grab stuff off of iTunes and Amazon and so forth and listening to other, and YouTube and listening to other singers. What I do when I work on a song from a different language is I phonetically write it out and then I pattern those words phonetically. And somehow I seem to be right on by doing that. So that's a little tip for you singers out there.
Well, that was an amazing, amazing performance.
Thank you.
I know how rough it is to try and break through into show business. And although the following hit song is a love song, I think it acknowledges some of the feelings one has when one is longing to arrive at an eagerly expected goal and the many challenges that one feels as one proceeds on one's way. Let's hear this song from Patricia's three-part CD, Cocktail, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia, Come In From the Rain.
Such a long, long time. There's so much to say. No need to explain. Just an open door for you to come in from the rain. It's a long road when you're on your own, and a man like you will always choose the long way home. There's no right or wrong. I'm not here to blame. I just want to be the one who keeps you from the rain. Come in from the rain. And it looks like sunny skies. Now that I know you're all right, time has left us older and wiser. I know I am. And it's good to know my best friend has come home again. 'Cause I think of us like an old cliche, but it doesn't matter 'cause I love you anyway. Come in from the
would you describe the emotional ambiance of Come In From the Rain, Patricia?
Oh, wow. I think we all have the storyline, you know, it's we all have a friend that's kind of wandered off or drifted. And basically the story is that she's welcoming her friend back into her arms, into her life. And so in that sense, it has a wonderful emotional
impact. I've always liked that song. And, you know, I don't know if you know this, but the song was actually recorded by Melissa Manchester. It was written by Carol Bayer Sager, but it was also recorded by Captain Antonio and Diana Ross. A lot of other people covered that song. So that's another one of those popular songs.
Well, here's another song with a very opposite mood. It actually is a song I hum to myself when I might have an occasional victory. It's called Top of the World.
Such a feeling's coming over me. There is wonder in most everything I see. Not a cloud in the sky, got the sun in my eyes, and I won't be surprised if it's a dream. Everything I want the world to be is now coming true, especially for me. And the reason is clear, it's because you are here. You're the nearest thing to heaven that I've seen. I'm on the top of the world, looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world. Something in the wind has learned my name, and it's telling me that things are not the same. In the leaves on the trees and the touch of the breeze, there's a pleasing sense of happiness for me. There is only one wish on my mind. When this day is through, I hope that I will find that tomorrow will be just the same for you and me. All I need will be mine if you are here. I'm on the top of the world, looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world. I'm on the top of the world, looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world. Your love's put me at the top of the world. Your love's put me at the top of the world.
Patricia, you seem to impart so much of a different ambiance to each song. It seems to me like you're constantly taking on very different personas. And although your voice is highly recognizable, it almost seems like you're a character actor playing different parts. How do you determine the dramatic quality you bring to each song?
Well, you know, I do feel the different parts and the different songs and the different storylines and also the different rhythms and so forth of the song. And I kind of feel a little bit like a chameleon. I do like to put on all those different colors, and, you know, the fact that I have a four octave range, I think also helps it, because I can color the voice in different ways and give a different dramatic quality to the song depending on what type of song it is and what the story is about that song.
You know, when you see Dustin Hoffman as an example of a character actor work, you do recognize him. I mean, you know what he looks like, and his voice is somewhat the same, but nonetheless, there's that magic of taking on a different part and different personality, and it's kind of an amazing thing. And I think that is something, is a gift that you have that's extremely rare. And I know very well how versatile you are. So it is amazing to me.
Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate that.
Now, here's another song called Night and Day, a song that really began in the 1930s in a musical called Gay Divorce. It was written by Cole Porter, and having become a signature song of his was the title of a biopic about him, that is a biography in film. I suppose it may be the oldest song in your collection, but it certainly got a fresh start with Frank Sinatra in 1942, who apparently liked it so much that he recorded it four more times. But it's got an even richer history than that, doesn't it?
It sure does. It's a great song. And I like, you know, the song is done also in different versions. Like, some people do it a little slower, some people do it a little faster. On my recording, it's more like a bossa nova, and I kind of like that quality to the song. So I've always enjoyed singing that. You know, I also enjoy the range, too. It's a little bit deeper, kind of in my deeper part of my range.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's listen to it. Let's hear Night and Day with Patricia Welch.
Okay.
Night and day, you are the one. Only you beneath the moon and under the sun. Whether near to me or far, it's no matter, darling, where you are, I think of you. Night and day, day and night, why is it so that this longing for you follows wherever I go? In the roaring traffic's boom, in the silence of my lonely room, I think of you. Night and day, night and day, under the hide of me, there's an oh such a hungry yearning burning inside of me. And its torment won't be through till you let me spend my life making love to you day and night. Night and day.
Thanks so much for being with us for the first half of this program. We'll return in 5 minutes with more from the most famous songs of decades past from an album called Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia Welch. Available now at patriciawelch.com/CD. That's patriciawelch.com/CD. Patricia will be joining us live in 5 minutes. Stay tuned.